Hello, it's the Falcon Cast Podcast, the official podcast of the Atlanta Falcons. I'm Matt Moore. Next to me is Jay Adams and Reed Farron. We are through the first quarter of the season, and the quarter did not end well, if you just want to be brutally honest, and that's what we want to do on this Falcon Cast. We're not, you know, we do try to, you know, root for the home team here, guys, but at the same time, you got to be real, and the Falcons did not have a good effort in their second attempt to get a road win in Minnesota, losing 41-28. Your thoughts as now we've kind of assessed that game and are, you know, moving on to the next one, but what's your assessment of the Falcons' effort in Minnesota last week?
Yeah, obviously nothing went according to plan. I mean, you don't plan to go in there and play like that. And I think, you know, one thing it did is it certainly shined a spotlight on some areas on defense that the Falcons have been kind of focused on this week. And, you know, anytime you give up more than 500 yards of total offense, you're definitely back to the drawing board in a lot of different cases. So, you know, I think the important thing here, though, is that we're only four games into the season. I mean, it's not over by any stretch of the imagination. The sky's not falling for me, and I think that there's plenty of time to turn things around, and that's what these guys are here to do.
Yeah, it's all about perspective. I mean, if you think about it, we're still tied atop the conference or atop the division with 2-2 with the Panthers, and you know that's what I love about the fresh month, October 1st. Forget September. Let's move on.
Let's talk real quick about what happened on the offensive line. That's the storyline right now with the Atlanta Falcons. This is my 11th season in the NFL. I've never seen anything like that where you were scared to play another play because you were scared another guy was going to go down. Eventually, Levine Toilolo, your tight end, I've never heard the ref have to say a number, an 80s number. Hey, number 80 is not an eligible receiver. He's actually on the line right now. One, have you ever seen anything like that? And two, talk about Levine Toilolo. That's pretty awesome stepping up, and that's why all the players are cross-trained in training camp. That's why you see them doing some different drills here and there. But what a performance by Levine, you know, really stepping up and going out of the comfort zone, as I would say, to play right tackle.
Yeah, I mean, as far as trying to recall another instance of that, I mean, I can't recall something like that.
Smitty said he couldn't either.
I do remember Croy Bierman kicking at one point back, I think, in the 08 or 09 season.
That's correct.
But other than that, I mean, that's about as close as I've seen. I mean, you know, there's no contingency plan for these kinds of things. You can try to plan as much as you possibly can and have a guard play at tackle or tackle play at center or whatever you want to do. But when you're out of offensive linemen, like completely out of offensive linemen, there's no contingency plan. It's just like you go in and play. And the best possible option was Levine Toilolo. And I thought he did a pretty good job for never practicing a position. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I talked to John Asamoah earlier this week and just kind of they gave me a little insight into how that worked. And it was basically like as they're walking up to the line, you know, John's like, that guy, you've got him. And John said, look, it's okay if the defense knows what you're doing as long as you do it well. And that's kind of the scenario you were in. And certainly that game was certainly shades of 2013 against the Rams when all those players went down. It was bringing back some bad flashbacks from that. But, you know, look, I think your offensive line depth is so much better this year than I think it was a year ago. And I think that you're able to make some of these moves around. Let's not forget, Gabe Kerimi was a first rounder. Jake Matthews, a first rounder. Peter Kahns was a second rounder. And John Asamoah was a third rounder. I mean, there's some good talent on this offensive line still. And I like the chances going into New York.
Well, Matt hit the nail on the head when he said cross-training. That's the hot-button issue that Coach Smith said this week. They've cross-trained their guys on their factor. Mike Tice talked to each of the offensive linemen in the locker room. They'll tell you that's the first thing that comes out of their mouth. Mike Tice has done such a great job in getting the guys together, improving their game. And then Matt Ryan said this week that, you know what, guys are stepping up and they're able to play the depth, the experience. And he even mentioned Mike Tice. So when you're off, when your quarterback's calling out and praising your offensive line coach, that's a big deal.
Before we get to the Giants and talk about what the O-line might look like Sunday, I think both of you touched on it. The sky is not falling. The Falcons are 2-2, tied with the division on, for the lead, have two division wins under their belt already. One of your losses is against an AFC opponent. You're not in that bad of shape. And it's funny, I've told this story to a few of you this week, is, you know, I look back at, you know, when you just, when you kind of take a loss like that, you're going to hear talk radio is, you know, sports talk radio, the season's over, you know, and this, nothing good can happen to this defense. They're all bums. They can't, they, none of them can play. What, let's go trade for all new players. And you know, that's reactionary, and fans are rightfully can have their opinions. But it did remind me of 2004. The Falcons went to Kansas City. The Chiefs set a franchise record for most rushing touchdowns in a game with 8. So try staying on the sideline and watching that. That was awesome. And then, you know, same thing. Oh, we can't stop anyone. This team is done. Like, you know, paper tigers out there. And, you know, all week. And then you have to go to Denver. Back-to-back Kansas City, then Denver. And we went to Denver and won by a similar score that we just faced, was 41-28. The Falcons went up there. And so that's why, you know, in Smitty we trust. And, you know, he's going to have these guys ready. They're going to have a scheme ready. They're going to adjust. That's what you do in this league. So I do want to reiterate, the sky is not falling. The season's not over. The Falcons are not in a bad place right now.
No, and I think, you know, you hear all the time that there's parity in the NFL, and it's so true. And that's one of the things I think is the beauty of this league, is that, you know, anybody can beat anybody. I mean, who thought that Dallas was going to go and face the Saints at home and just dominate them the way they did? I mean, every week the experts are going to say, oh, well, this is who should win, et cetera, et cetera. But that's why they play the games. You know, these teams are very good, teams across the NFL. And, you know, we hear sometimes we'll hear like, oh, this college team could beat this NFL team, et cetera. I don't believe that for a minute. I mean, there's good talent around, and any of these teams can rise to the occasion on any given Sunday, to throw out a overused cliche. But I mean, it's really true. It's just a product of the parity in the NFL.
Yeah, the thing that bothers me the most is fans. Obviously, the fans, they're entitled to their opinion, but these guys are people too. And if you think that they're not bothered by losing, they'll get up. They have to look themselves in the mirror and realize, you know what, we gave up this much on offense, this much on defense. We left plays on the field. That's why they're in the meeting rooms. That's why they're, you know, getting critiqued by their coaches. They're on the practice field. They don't like losing either. So it's not like they're just going to give up and, you know, throw their hands in the air. No, this team is legit. They're committed, and they're going to turn it around.
I heard a lot of words expressed right after the game, and then during the beginning of the week, just words like angry and pissed off and yeah, et cetera. That's, I'm et cetera-ing all over the place.
But I heard angry but calm.
Angry but calm. Yeah, I mean, that's really what it's all about right now, is that they're trying to channel that anger into some momentum. And I agree with you. There's nobody in that locker room right now who's taking this line down. No. So.
All right, let's move on to the New York Giants. The Falcons will face the Giants at MetLife Stadium this Sunday, 1 p.m. on your local Fox affiliate. I believe John Lynch is doing the game, right, Jay?
He's one of the guys. Yeah,
well, he's the analyst. Going back to the O-line, why don't you, Jay, real quick, talk about what the O-line could possibly look like now as you go face a physical front seven New York Giants team?
Well, it's going to look very different. I mean, you've got Joe Hawley and Lamar Holmes gone for the year. Okay, so you know you've got that going forward. The positive here is that you've got Gabe Kareemi, and I think that this is a guy who had a knee injury at the start of his career, and, you know, a first rounder out of Wisconsin, and that knee injury just really derailed his progress. He was in Chicago for a while. Chicago kind of gave up the experiment. We pick him up on a 1-year deal, and suddenly I think we've got a gem here, a guy who could really be around for a while. So you throw him at right tackle. I'm not worried about that. Peter Kahns has worked his butt off during the offseason.
Looks like a new guy.
I mean, he really does. He's talked to Reed, talking about, I saw a nutritionist. You know, I turned some fat into muscle, and he looks a lot different. And you saw, if you watched Hard Knocks, you know, you saw the side-by-sides. So Peter Kahns at center, I think, is going to be benefited greatly from that right guard position and how John Asamoah has solidified that. You know, you think about the issues that the offensive line had last year, especially up the middle, and you think about that right guard position and how there was pressure allowed from inside there. That's not the case anymore, and I really feel like that's going to help out Peter quite a bit. Who knows what's going on with Justin Blaylock, but if he's not able to go, my guess is that Harlan Gunn starts at left guard. And, boy, he had a great preseason, a great camp, and I really think that he can step in and do the job. He got three games under his belt last year. I think this is a guy who's just had kind of a weird path where he's a victim of numbers, and you keep him around on the practice squad for these kinds of moments, and I think he's going to come in pretty seamlessly.
And, Reed, I heard you in the locker room asking a lot of the receivers a question about the Giants' secondary. There's some studs on that secondary. And this could be kind of your first chance where you see a guy try to take Julio one-on-one and not have help.
I love hearing that. That's like Christmas Day right there. I'll take Julio against anyone one-on-one. But I asked both Julio and Roddy, are they extra motivated to go against a ball-hawking secondary like the Giants have? And obviously they say, yeah, I mean, they want to rise to the occasion, no pun intended, but they want to step up, and especially on the road, trying to get back in the win column. Again, these guys are sickened by losses, and they're doing everything they can to step up, and they have all the confidence in Matt Ryan, Coach Cutter with the offensive scheme. So look for a turnaround this week.
And let's move to the other side of the ball. You know, no big deal, just facing a guy who has two Super Bowl rings. A guy in Victor Cruz who can light up in the slot or outside and give you headaches all day. A very physical running back in Rashad Jennings. I mean, the Falcons have the work cut out for them.
Yeah, and it seems like they've got a tight end that's starting to pick up.
Oh, yeah, that guy.
Yeah, Larry Donnell his trajectory is sky high right now. So there's a lot of weapons for this New York Giants team, and the defense is going to be tested once again. I mean, it could be just another situation where you just got to hope that the Falcons offense scores more points. But, you know, this defense does have a lot of pride to it. And, you know, those guys are working hard and studying the film and trying to put together a good effort, against the Giants on Sunday. You know, we're all rooting for them. We're hoping they can kind of figure this thing out because, as I said, the season's very young and a lot of things can happen between now and week 17. So,
talking to the defensive players as well as defensive coordinator Mike Nolan, he said basically it comes down to improving the defense is staying committed to the plan, following the scheme, and doing your job. I talked to OC yesterday, and he said a lot of the issues have come about where guys are trying to do too much. And Coach Nolan mentioned he doesn't want robots out there. Go out there. You've been gifted with the abilities that you have. Go make a play. Fill your gaps. Do your job. And let's turn this thing around.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's, as you've seen in practice, you know, like you said, these guys are NFL players. It was one bad week. The sky's not falling. That's if we can give you fans one piece of advice to take into this Sunday, the sky's not falling. I think you're going to see a very determined, very physical, very motivated Falcon team on Sunday. So let's get to the picks. So last week, let's see, I had, who did I had? Alford.
Mm-hmm.
Reed, you had Trufant on the other side. I think Jay's the winner again with Hester. So, Jay, does that mean you have three wins or two?
That's three wins.
Oh, my gosh. And you have one?
Yeah.
And I saw the goose egg. Not cool. Not cool. All right.
You guys are in the rear view.
All right. Who's your pick this week? Pick the click, Jay.
Pick the click. All right. Well, I'm going to go with Steven Jackson this week because I think you've got to get him the ball. You've got to get all the running backs the ball, honestly. I mean, we've heard all week that Anton Smith should be getting the ball more what can you say about that guy? But I'm going to go with Steven Jackson because I just feel like he's going to get a few more carries than Anton. I think you need to establish the run against this Giants team because, with the options that you have at the offensive line, you know, Matt, who knows how much time he's going to have. I have a lot of faith in those guys up front, but, you know, you don't know how many, pass attempts that they're going to go for. And, so I just feel like Steven Jackson could be the guy.
I'm riding number 11. This is going to be another breakout game for him. It's his time to shine. You know, he's, I think, second in the league in reception yards. Folks today just talked to him today. He's ready to go. So, Julio Jones.
I'm going Prince Shimbo. Wild card, baby. Prince Shimbo. And what just
got
watch.
His first start last week.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's going to happen. It's going to happen. Okay. That's going to wrap it up. Good stuff, guys. Very good analysis. And continue to tune in to AtlantaFalcons.com. These guys are putting great content there, and check out Game Day pre and post. You're going to have everything you need to know about the pregame before the game and the results and all the analysis and locker room coverage from these guys. So for Reed Farren, Jay Adams, I'm Matt Moore. Thanks for watching this edition of Falcon Cast.